name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The apostle says to preach in season and out of season. So this is not a time normally when people preach, but it's apropos because of the gospel and because of the feast that we're celebrating today, the 40 martyrs of Sebaste. Now you understand why the gospel is read, right? It was about the worker who came at the 11th hour, and he received the same. And so it is that with the 40 martyrs, there was a pagan soldier who came at the 11th hour. All night long, the 40 had been in the lake and were starting to freeze and be cold, and they had to clump together in order to be able to stand up. And they were very near death. And at the very morning, when the dawn came, there was a hothouse that they could have gone to any time they wanted. One of the soldiers relented, and he was not one of the 40 martyrs. He was one of the 40, but he didn't become a martyr. Instead, he lost his soul because he came to the shore and he expired before he got to the hothouse, to the bathhouse. And the soldiers watching this saw it, and one of the soldiers cried out that he too would be a Christian because he saw the crowns that were coming down to crown the martyrs, and there were 40. Well, there was only 39 in the lake, so he joined them, taking off all of his rank and his insignias and everything, and went into the lake, and he became one of the martyrs. Obviously, he came at the 11th hour, and his reward is the same as the other 39. Now, I have two observations about this gospel that just sort of came to me as I was reading it, and they're kind of, one is a very comforting idea, another one's frightening. One comforting thing is that we, because we tend to judge things and because we tend to not really see things as they are, we might see someone and think, well, they're not doing so well. Maybe they won't be saved. Hopefully we don't think things like that. But we have a tendency, even the most perfect among us, to have a feeling that it's not going well for somebody or that they need to improve in some way. Well, at the 11th hour, they can improve. God can make them stand. And that's very good news. That's very good news. But then there's another frightening idea that if it weren't for the first, I would be very frightened. And that is, why would we think that we're not the one coming at the 11th hour? Because we go to church on Friday night for pre-sanctified? Because we keep a fast? Because we were baptized as Orthodox Christians? Do we think we're not the ones at the 11th hour? We must be the ones from the first hour, or maybe the third, right? Or maybe the sixth at the most. What about if we're the ones from the 11th hour? If you read the Gospel of John and you read the first epistle of John, especially, we don't qualify as very much Christians, especially the first epistle of John. You read that and you measure yourself against that, and we're not really Christian. Now, obviously, we're Christian in that we believe in God, we are struggling to follow the commandments, but we're doing a bad job of it. And our prayer is not like fire. It's not like flame. It should be. So if we barely pray, or perhaps when we do pray, we still barely pray, then what is it? What's the evidence that we're not from the 11th hour? So we should strive to not be from the 11th hour. And we should think of ourselves actually correctly, for most of us, for the vast majority of us, correctly we would be thinking we are from the 11th hour. We're the ones coming at the 11th hour. But then again, God saves those who come at the 11th hour, like this soldier who was pagan and then saw the crowns and became a martyr. So this is very good news for us and wonderful. There should be energy from it in your soul. But don't take it for granted. You know, we're more religious than most. Okay? That and $4 will get you a cup of coffee. But that's it. We have to have God in our heart. We have to live with Him in our heart. We have to have fire in our heart. Do we have fire? You have to evaluate for yourself if you have fire. Now, this is just the perfect time to be doing the evaluating, because this is Great Lent. This is a time to take stock of yourself, to say out loud in the services at home, I'm a sinner, and I am from the 11th hour, maybe even a little bit after that. But God can save. That's very good news. So let's keep our humility. Let's not consider ourselves to be more than we are. We'll say one more thing that's maybe not completely related, but well, I guess everything's tied together in some way. I had an experience yesterday where someone said, if you love others and if you do good works, will God love you more? And then He won't judge you. And I said, no, that has nothing to do with it. God's not going to love you more because you do good works or because you love others. God already loves you. He doesn't love you more or less. And it got me to thinking, and I talked to him, that love has no agenda except one thing. We all have agendas for things, don't we? We want to help somebody. That means, well, we expect that person to, whatever it is, stop drinking or do better in their relationship or something, right? As a priest, I'm trying to help people all the time. And of course, I have goals for them, right? I mean, I talk to somebody who never goes to church. Of course, I want them to come to church. The only goal I should have, I mean, those are good goals to have, absolutely. But they are not the primary goal. And we shouldn't be disappointed when those goals are not met. There is only one goal that matters, and that is to become like God, and therefore to love. So love is its own agenda. And I saw that with my grandson, Noah, Monster Man. So I'm taking care of him, and his dad was actually home for the day and had gone out and gone to do things. So he came back after quite a long period of time. And when Monster found out about that, he went as fast as he could to his daddy's arms with a big, huge smile on his face and stayed in his arms for a long time. So why did he do that? Because he loves his daddy and nothing else. There was no agenda. He didn't want anything else except his daddy. That's it. So we should only love. That's it. Now, of course, you do planning and you have to use your, as my dad used to say, use your noodle, right? You have to do things. You have to have plans for people and goals and etc. But none of those things are primary. There's only one thing. Love your brother. Love your sister. Love your enemy. Love your friend. And when your brother, when your sister, your enemy, your friend does well, love them. When they do poorly, love them. When something you plan for them doesn't work, love them. You're already successful because you've loved them. And I think this gospel ties in because you love them and maybe they're not doing well. I know zillions of people that are not doing well. And sometimes I get sort of down in the mouth about it. I don't like it. I get even depressed about it or have bad feelings about the future for them. But they could come to God at the 11th hour. Who's to say that my love for them, as poor as it is, God sees it and says, for the love of that Christian, even though he's poor, even though he's bad, for the love of him, I'm going to save that person. That can happen, you know, even for us sinners. So that's very good news. All you need to do is love. That's it. No other agenda. Life is so much easier when that's all you care about. I mean, God bless us and help us in all things. Amen.